life, sex, goals, and oh, hell knows, this is Midlife Craving.
My basement flooded. You know, usually when I say that, it's in regard to someone making my clit throb. You know, I'm all wet down there. But this time, it's in the literal sense. My motherfucking basement flooded. I am in rare form right now, okay? I am currently sitting in my bedroom closet on the floor. I'm actually sitting next to the rainbow tutu that I wore for the hotel takeover. Also, my hot pink heels that I rocked on my season 2 photo shoot. Different outfits I've worn to various lifestyle events. I'm sitting right next to those. So those kind of make me happy. Okay. But holy fucking shit, I have been going through it. My life has been like a goddamn country music song. Woo! So let's fucking go. Also, my Don came over today. Oh my God. And he destroyed me for 4 fucking hours. I'm still riding high from it. Lots of things happened. Extremely hot. We broke out massage oil. He ate my ass. I'm going to save all those details for the next episode, but shoo, man. So if I sound a little, listen, I'm in rare form. I'm like riding this bitch till the wheels fall off. And also just got my brains fucked out. So this is going to be a very interesting intro. I want to say something else right now. Shout out to the following 3 items in my life: Captain, PCAT, and Flo, for keeping me from truly stepping off the ledge. Because, like, this is me, like, habitual line stepper. I'm towing that fucking line. The multiple orgasms that they've been giving me per day is the only reason why I haven't lost my, well, there's a few left, all of my marbles yet. These toys are, of course, from Tracy's Dog, and you too can experience this joy or survival tactic like myself if you go to tracysdog.com and get yourself a Captain, PCAT, Flo, or even a Rosie. Remember to use code CRAVERS20, that's CRAVERS20, and get 20% off your entire order. If I had to pick just one, it would have to be Captain. It's their OG clit sucker. Old Faithful, my main man, and God, the most consistently mind-blowing orgasms I have ever had in my entire life, favorite toy. By the way, if you have questions on any of these toys, please send me a DM over on Instagram at Midlife Craving. I love sharing how I use them and pro tips to make them even more enjoyable. Again, you can grab Captain or all of the above at tracysdog.com and use code CRAVERS20 to get 20% off. Okay, back to Hurricane Adrian. Category 5. Category motherfucking 5 right now, okay? So my life got flipped upside down about 2 weeks ago when I went to a burlesque class with a bunch of my favorite gals in the lifestyle. And listen, I had such a good time with them. We learned how to sexy walk and crawl. Thank God for knee pads on those. We learned a choreographed song, had an awesome time. There were so many laughs, and it was a really good time. I also got to see my favorite gal, Rainey, and spend the day with her. So life was good. We went to dinner. We had drinks. It was a great evening. I remember I came home, and it was kind of late. And when I was walking in and walking up the stairs, I heard the ice maker refilling. And I was like, that sounds loud. I really didn't think anything of it. Like, you know, it's like a normal sound that you hear when your ice maker refills. And I'm like, oh, okay. So go to bed. The next morning, I wake up and I hear rain. It's bright and sunny outside. So I'm like, it ain't raining out there. So I rush downstairs. Oh my God, it's hard to relive this memory right now. It's just hashtag too soon. I walk downstairs, step onto the hardwood floor of my kitchen, and it's soaking wet. And I hear like a fucking pissing from behind the refrigerator. And at this point, I'm in panic mode. So I try to get the refrigerator out. And I mean, I'm a strong gal and I couldn't get it out. So I opened the doors, like trying to find somewhere to grab onto. I accidentally ripped off, in my fury, both handles to the refrigerator. I'm like flipping out, like the water sloshing everywhere. I'm still hearing rain. Now the fire alarms are going off. So I'm like, okay, all right. So rip the refrigerator out finally, turn the water off. Thank God there was a water shut off right there. And the sound of the pissing is gone, but the alarms are going off. And I know, I'm like, this is going right downstairs. So, I mean, it was just a very out of body experience. I went downstairs, water everywhere, the ceiling, the drywall, it was completely hanging and sagging. All the paint was like rippled full of water. There's water rushing out of the light. The smoke detector was just drowning in water. And of course, beeping everywhere. I swear to God, I'm starting to just get stressed talking about this. And I need to chill because I just got laid and had an incredible fucking day of getting absolutely fucking destroyed. But anyway, I just had a flashback. Really quick, because I'm going to share details on the next episode. But I got tied up face down this time. First time ever. So my legs are spread. My arms are spread. Tied four corners to the bed. And he did this incredible, remind you, I'm covered in massage oil. He did this incredible, like, clit circling, thumb G-spot penetrating, and eating my asshole at the same time. You know, like, oh my God. God bless that fucking man. Anyway, okay, where was I? Hold on. Okay. Back to the basement flooding. Okay. It was pure fucking chaos. And I'm by myself. It's like fucking 6 in the morning. This was an absolute nightmare. Got all, you know, the water started to slow down because I turned it off upstairs, started taking down the drywall. And then I thought to myself, I have to go around the corner and see what the damage is on the studio. Luckily, it was just the flooring. It's just the flooring. But still, like, all that has to come up. My studio's gone. I had to take everything out. I'm going through insurance. I had fans running. The remediation has been done. There's so much that happened. But at the end of the day, I lost my studio. Like, I don't have a studio. So, you know, sitting in my closet for the unforeseeable future, I've got to figure out a resolution to this. But yeah, so I'm going through it. Oh, and then when the insurance guy came in, like the appraisal guy, and then the workers who came in completely gutted my entire basement. Of course, the sex swing's hanging out. And so they're looking at me. They're looking at it. They're looking at me. They're looking at it. And I'm like, it's for a fucking sex swing. Okay. Like, at this point, I have zero fucks. Like, I'm very dangerous to be around right now. And I'm like, yes, that's for a sex swing. It's fine. Everything's fine. I fucking live here. So on top of everything else, my goddamn truck radiator sensor went up. The fan won't stop running. I had to work over the weekend, and then all of a sudden I couldn't swallow. My throat felt like shards of glass. Ended up in urgent care. I got tonsillitis again. Thank you, Katina, for driving my broke ass around. Like, I just cannot thank you enough and helping me get my meds. You are the fucking best. 4 days of fans, dehumidifiers. My house was sounding like it was going to take off, I swear to God. I got a call from BG&E, the electric company, and they're like, hey, your electricity use has gone up 600% in the last 4 days. You're projected to have a $600 bill this week. So I'm like, I am fucking thriving right now. I'm out about $3,000 in 10 days. Yes, all of this has fucking happened in 10 days. It's been a wild ride. And like I said, I'm living on the edge, man. I've decided I'm going to sacrifice the next 2 weeks of zero spending, like absolutely none. I fucking turned my heat off. my daughter comments when she goes outside. She's like, it's not even that cold out here. And I'm like, yeah, because it's fucking 50 degrees in the house too. Shit. Man, I tell you. But okay, through all of this, I'm trying to remain positive. This too shall pass. Like, it will get better. It just has to, right? Like, it has to. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to fake it till I make it. I'm going to really try to remain positive. I was super negative for about a week there, and I had every fucking reason to be. But now I'm like, you know what? Like, think positive. We're only going to go up from here. Oh, God. One can hope. All right, enough of my bullshit. Let's get to this episode. My friend Danny is here, and he vulnerably shares his story including how he evolved in life to find happiness, and how he and his wife, Christina, have built a strong marriage through, you know, the normal trials and tribulations that everyone does. He also speaks a lot about ways to improve communication with your partner and to truly be happy in your relationship. Enjoy, Cravers. Cravers, I want to welcome a very good friend of mine, and I'm so excited for you guys to meet him. Danny Diaz, welcome to the show. I'm so pumped to have you here today.
Yeah, so pumped to be here. What's up, Cravers?
Yes, and I really quick, I don't want to forget, I want to say where my Cravers can find you. So you're on Instagram at Peak Life Now, and then your website is I Am Daniel Diaz, just as the way it's spelled, pretty easy name, .com. And then you're also on Facebook too, Daniel Diaz Life Coach. So go find Danny.
And I got a lot more, I feel like I almost have a lot more content on Facebook just because it's, you know, a little bit more time friendly and space friendly, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So if you're looking for some more in-depth tips and tricks, I would say check it out there.
Motivational content, all of the above. Like, I absolutely love following you. So let's talk about how we met. And I wanted to tell you the story. So I met your beautiful and incredible wife, Christina, in summer of 2017. And my Cravers know that was a very transformative phase in my life. And a funny story. So I was getting divorced and I changed everything about me. I cut all of my hair off. I lost a ton of weight. You know, the normal stuff you do when you get divorced or whatever.
And revenge body.
Yes. And I thought to myself, I don't have eyebrows. Like, I don't have fucking eyebrows. Okay. So met your wife. She was, you know, the microblader, and she, I'll never forget the day I met her. I was kind of reeling, if I'm being honest. And she made me feel so safe and so comfortable. And also she changed my face literally with the art and her technique that she drew my eyebrows on and tattooed my fucking face. Just amazing. And like, I remember our conversation that day, and she spoke so highly of you. Like, that was when I first heard of you. And I was down, right? Going through a divorce. And I remember thinking, I love their love. And I like, that is something that I'll never forget about her and the way that she spoke about you.
She's the best. I love her so much. And she is. I talk about it all the time. I mean, she's one of the best in the country at microblading. She's so freaking good.
She's
so good, she doesn't even have to do it anymore, which is really weird.
It's her artistic eyes. Like, she's amazing. And I miss her. I miss her very much. I know she's doing her art thing, and I love seeing her do that, but I do miss her. I'm like, please fix my eyebrows. Touch them up, girl. Touch up them corners. But anyway, so that's how I got to know your wife. And then I started seeing you online and your motivation. And also, you went through quite a journey over the last couple of years. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because there's like, I think it's like four major transformations that I've gone through over the last like 8 years, right? I got into personal development 8 years ago. And like, you know, or maybe even more transformations, but you know, transformation one, going all the way back, like, you know, I sold drugs for like 17 years and like lived a very like hardened shell life, you know, as far as like how I guarded myself, you know, emotionally, physically, you know, socially, and leaving that lifestyle to then become like a legitimate member of society and like a legal entrepreneur. And, you know, I started a food truck. That was kind of like transformation number one. Mm-hmm. It's probably the one that, I don't know, I probably talk about the least just because it's, I don't know, I don't like, you know, I told so many stories for so long where I glorified so much of what I was doing, where now it's like not as fun. Mm-hmm. So I get like, I don't have a pull to like glorify those stories necessarily.
Yeah.
So I don't talk about it as much, but that was a huge change, you know, to like leave something behind that had really given me total autonomy and financial freedom. Of course, obviously, it was super dangerous, and like, it wasn't the place for me.
You ever get caught? You ever go to jail?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I've gotten arrested probably like 3 or 4 times, and then I got very lucky with all of my arrests. I never got caught with coke, which was what I was moving at a high volume towards the end for the last like 5-7 years. Mm-hmm. And when I did get arrested, The big one was all with weed, so it was it was, you know, it was a blessing. It was like, thank God. Like it was a bad arrest, and it was like four felonies I was facing at the time. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't cocaine. My lawyer was the shit, and I got like blessed by God in court and got all four felonies dropped to a single misdemeanor.
Wow.
So it was 100% like, all right, dude, you know, like this isn't your path.
Right.
This is your, this is your, this is like your last fucking chance. Like if you're ready to quit, like I just gave you one more door.
Yeah.
So I took that door, I started the food truck, but really like I didn't like stop my habits necessarily. So like still partying, and really like the partying turned up more because like previously as a drug dealer, I was like constantly on guard.
Yeah.
You know, so like I wasn't really ever getting too drunk. I wasn't really ever getting too fucked up because I was like really needed to be aware of everything around me just in case I had to like run or something like that. Right. Like, or defend myself, you know, or something. So what happened when I started my food truck was I went all in on that business, but I still was like doing blow and, you know, drinking and partying on the weekends and doing stuff like that. And like, you know, those habits with being an entrepreneur and trying to build a real brand and business, they don't go together. And eventually after a few years, I started to break down internally, mentally, and emotionally. And like, I was having like, and at this point I had met my wife, like I just kind of started questioning my habits right around the time when I met Christina. Mm-hmm. And I had just like I had, there was one, I knew one man, like I met this one guy, he ended up, he was actually the landlord. He owned the brick and mortar. He owned the building that we built our brick and mortar, our first taqueria in, and then our rooftop bar. He owned that building, and he was a best friend of one of my best friends. So we met, and anyway, this guy, his name's Steve Lawrence, and he was unlike any other guy I'd ever met in my life. He was spiritual. Mm-hmm. He was down to earth. He was very familiar with what it's like to live, like to be in the street, so to speak, right? Like, so like, it was like street cred, and spirituality, it's like kind of this blend.
Yeah.
And I was like listening to a lot of things that he would say, and it started to really spark my curiosity. And I was like, that was like the real first nudge into personal development and like spirituality was hearing him just be who he was. And I remember asking him like, what are some books that I could read now? Like, what is something that I could do? And the very first book I ever read was The Four Agreements.
The Four Agreements. And, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it changed my life. And when I met Christina, she was into that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was getting curious about leaving that, those habits and that lifestyle behind. And here was this beautiful, like, goddess of a woman that was, like, the only person I probably knew that also, like, didn't, like, she was on the other side.
Yeah.
She was where I wanted to be, mm-hmm. right? Like health wise, like habits wise, you know, and so like that was, it was really beautiful how all that kind of started.
You know, it brings me back to something I say on my show a lot is OQP, only quality people. And so you changed who you surrounded yourself with and then changed yourself. Like that's how it works. You know, look around the room.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. So fast forwarding like 2015, 2016, 2015, we got married. 2016 was like when shit internally really hit the fan. Like I was just like so stressed out. I was waking up in the morning, like at 100 miles an hour, like waking up, my thought, like I'm already mid thought and mid problem, right? Like I'm solving the problem already. Like I'm like getting out of bed, like, oh fuck, I gotta do this. I gotta do that. Like I gotta put this fire out. Like I was just like, I remember looking at her and being like, I think I'm like going to die. Like, I think like I'm going to have like this is going to kill me. So I'm getting a heart attack or something. Like,
yeah,
this is no way to live.
Right.
And that was, and she made like, she was like, well, why don't you, you know, what if you ever thought about like listening to like Tony Robbins? And my response to her was, do you mean that guy from the movie Shallow Hal? Because that was all I knew. I knew them as banana hands from Shallow Hal. Like that was the only thing.
Oh my God.
And she's like, yeah, that guy. And I'm like, okay.
Go listen
to him. And I started, right? Yeah. So I started listening to him, but I was like, it was like, you know, the medicine. I was like, oh shit. Like all this stuff made sense.
Yeah.
And I started listening.
It's like your awakening.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that was the, I'd say, the catalyst to really like that next transformation. So over the next couple of years, I just buried myself in personal development, and I took action like on all the things I was learning. I started implementing all these things in my life. I started changing my habits and my patterns.
Yeah, one of the things you said is that it's pretty simple. You know, you went from poor habits to good habits. And not only did I see you evolve, Danny, because I've been watching you through Christina, you know, mentally and physically. Like, you shared those stories on your Instagram at Peak Life Now. You can see stories and you don't look like you look like now. And that's a thing.
No,
you know?
Totally. I would say one of the biggest transformations was actually in 2018, I left my company. I left the restaurant. You know, I built this from scratch with a business partner.
Yep, I remember her talking about that.
Me and the business partner were on, you know, different life paths with different values at that point, right? Like, we were very similar when we started, but me getting into personal development, really wanted to elevate myself and elevate the business. Mm-hmm. We were on different paths. And eventually what I had to do was, I got a moment of clarity where I understood, because the conversation when I was leaving, I mean, I was 35 years old when I left that company. The conversation I was having was like, what the fuck am I going to do? Like, how could I ever even leave? Like, it was almost like I had, like, prior to the moment of clarity, it was like, well, I'm 35, you know, like, I sold drugs for a long time. I don't have a retirement. I work sales jobs. Like, what the fuck would I even do? I've been in this business for 8 years. Like, how do I start doing, like, am I supposed to go work in an office? Like, it was just, you know, so it was like,
no, yeah. What do you want to be when you grow up? It's a big thing at this age. Yeah.
Yeah. And at that age, it was like who, you know, who even wants me? How could I, like, what would I even do? You know, like, I don't have any skills, you know, like, it was just kind of like all these like thoughts. And eventually I had this moment of clarity where I was like, oh shit, the restaurants aren't my leg. I'm my legacy.
Yeah.
And wherever I go, I will create my legacy. And it's got nothing to do with it. So it was like this huge moment. And I was like, okay. And I had grown so much in personal development that I was inside of this environment, this container that was capping my growth. Mm-hmm. And if I wanted to continue to grow and evolve, I had to remove myself from that environment. Mm-hmm. And that was like that huge major decision.
Yeah, I want to mention something really quick because I felt this way 2 years ago as well. It's amazing to me how the universe works where you know you don't belong anymore. And no matter how bad you want to stay in the comfort zone, you can't. You have to get out. You know that in order for you to stay alive, right? And that's people I say exist, but I want to live. And for me to live, I had to break away from everything that I knew and loved. That's like what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then truthfully, that's what most people that I work with are going through, mm-hmm. but it's all in different boxes or different containers, right? Yeah. It has different looks. Like, not everybody is leaving a restaurant company. But it's just like you said, it's like there's, and I say it all the time, it's these little whispers.
Yes.
It's not loud. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not louder than your fear. It's definitely not louder than your insecurity or your doubt.
Oh my God. Wait, you just said
it's just a little whisper.
I love what you just said really quick. It's not louder than your fear, because that's so true. And people live their lives, their entire lives. Well, I say they exist in fear. And I feel bad. Like, you got to get out there. You got to break through and overcome that fear big time. I love that.
And it's the loudest voice, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's like you've got someone like a drill sergeant, AKA your fear, yelling at you, mm-hmm. you know, and like really making you think that like you're not enough. Things won't work out.
Yes.
And they are yelling at you. Well, like, really, there's this like all wise, like freaking Buddhist, like monk in the corner of your brain that's like whispering, like,
yes,
this is all you gotta do.
Yep.
And you're just like, oh, I feel like that's a good idea, but this guy's yelling at me and he seems much more convincing. You know what I mean?
Yes. You know, one of my favorite guys, and I know you know him, David Goggins, he calls it the governor in his brain. Yep. And he's like, fuck the governor. Like, and it's so true.
Right.
And by the way, it's so simple that it seems so hard, you know? But it really is. You quit your bullshit.
Like, it couldn't be that simple, right? It couldn't be that simple.
Right. Yes, like, that's what it is. Could it be that? Yes.
Things don't just work out that way, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you follow your intuition, it doesn't just work out for you, but it does if you can withstand the that barking voice. So
that uncomfort zone.
So right. And so that's what it was for me. Like there was the barking voice of what would I ever do? And then it was the whisper. And I and the whisper was always the thing that I had followed even prior to that, with these little whispers. And that whisper was like, you gotta go. And yeah. I heard it and I listened to it. I was like, okay. So that was like that next major transformation in my life, was like being comfortable enough to leave something that I had built from scratch, mm-hmm. that was, you know, a multi seven figure company, mm-hmm. to, I mean, my plan, like people asked me, what's your plan? What are you going to do? And I was like, I'm going to drop this 1,000-pound jacket of stress and anxiety I've been carrying. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to reconnect to my power and I'm going to let the universe bring me what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And people are like, that's not a plan. I'm like, it is for me.
Yeah.
Like, and it is a plan. Like now I know that is a real plan. I just understand that. I can appreciate that for 90% of the world, it sounds like hoopla. You know, it sounds like there's no way that could work.
Yep.
So that was that big next step. And that led me into coaching. Mm-hmm. And then the next big transformation after that was my health.
Well, one of the things, one of your videos that stood out to me, because I feel like a lot of people, they'll say, you know, I'm just so unhappy. And you mentioned five simple ways to increase your happiness. And they are: smile often, start a new hobby, tell someone why they are special to you, write, and I love this one, write a list of your accomplishments from the past 3 years, and then challenge yourself physically. So let's discuss some of those. So smiling often, I think that's a big thing. Even like when you're walking down the street, smiling at someone and getting a smile back, it makes you feel good. You know, what you put out is what you get back. You know, if you're out there pissed off at the world, you're going to get that back in return. Big believer in that. And then I love what you said, start a new hobby. One of the things, and I actually reached out to your wife, is I started painting a couple of months ago because I was like, I want to be creative, do something different. And so starting a new hobby, something you've never done before, is an incredible way to increase your confidence, you know, find some happiness, challenge yourself a little bit and get that reward, you know?
Yes. And I'll lean into this for just a hot second, because for midlife craving, I think what I come across the most with my clients, and I think just people in general that are at this stage in life, is like, where's my passion? Like, what's my passion? I don't have a passion anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like
we're so
passionate and driven in our 20s. Yeah. Like a purpose. We're so passionate and driven in our 20s, and in our 30s, you know, we're like settling into a groove. And then sometimes in our 40s, it's like, I'm not fucking excited anymore.
Right,
like,
now what?
I got stuff. Yeah, like now, like I'm successful, but like I'm not happy. I want more happiness.
Yes.
So the hobby thing is literally like it's the back door, the VIP entrance to finding your purpose and your passion in life.
Yeah.
And it's so convoluted out there in the information of like chasing your passion and finding your purpose. Because what I think is not talked about enough is that your passion and your purpose is developed through your developing skill set.
Yeah.
Right? Like I built this incredible restaurant, like businesses, food truck, catering, bar, because I learned how to cook and then became passionate about cooking.
Yeah.
Like I built a skill set of something that I was good at and I got better and better at it. And all of a sudden I fucking loved it. And I think what happens a lot is that people are in this space and they're like, well, I don't know what I'm passionate about, but starting something new, it's hard to be like, oh, I'm chasing my passion. I'm going to do this thing that I've never done. Like you get passionate about something when you get good at something. So that's why starting a hobby is so vital to our overall happiness, because you start a hobby and it starts to build into something and it creates like a level of, you know, significance for yourself. Like, oh my God, I'm good at this. And then when you're good at it, it's easy to say, oh, maybe this could be something that I could implement like in my life as like a business or a trade or something, right? Like it just creates a higher level of passion and purpose and excitement.
It does. And, yeah. Cause you spend like your early life, you know, going to college, getting a degree, starting your career, earning money. And then all this, like when you get to choose, you get to make a choice. It's not dependent upon, is this going to support my lifestyle? You know, it's something you want to do. It's like that quote on Office Space. Like, what would you do if you, you know, made $1 million doing your job? Like nobody would be the fucking janitor. You know what I mean? Like you find what you want to do, cause you're not dependent on it.
Right. And, And I'd say with the hobby, it's like, you don't have to look at it like, will this make me money? It just has to be something that you're curious about that seems like fun. That's
Agreed.
it. You
Yeah.
pick something that you're curious about and it seems like fun. And that is, it is a fast track. It's a gateway to exposing new purpose and passion in
Yeah.
your life.
And then I love tell someone why they are special to you. I'm a big fan of being, appreciative and thankful for the blessings that you have in life. I say to my best friend Katina every single day, I love you. I also ask her all the time, how are you? How, I'm just very invested and I care and I cultivate that relationship so much because it means so much to me. And in return, she does the same. And like those are vital to you as a human. You know what I mean? I feel like people get behind keyboards, they miss out on that interaction so much. And life is short, and the people that are around you, the people that love and support you, appreciate and value them. And it makes you feel good too. So that is another way to increase your happiness. I love that one.
And it's, the practice of honoring someone for their gifts and how they make you feel is also a practice that then reflects your ability to honor yourself.
100%. Love that.
And that's one of the reasons why it can become such a beautiful way to increase your happiness, because
Yes.
oftentimes we're unhappy and we don't even know, like we're so easy to criticize ourselves, but it's not a normal practice to praise ourselves. Like it's not innate. And when you are good at praising others, you just increase your ability to praise yourself. It becomes more habitual.
So
Like, oh, I can do
true.
this. I got this figured out.
So incredibly true. Never thought about it that way before, but that's very true. And then I love write a list of your accomplishments from the past 3 years. So I think it's in the past, it's behind me. But like think about and be proud of yourself for the things that you've accomplished. And even when you have an obstacle ahead of you, you can think, well, shit, I survived that, or look what I did before. It's important to remember those successes and accomplishments. And then also the other one is challenge yourself physically. And I cannot agree more with that. Surround yourself with others who care about their body. I mean, it really is look good, feel good, and just taking care of your health, especially at our age. You know what I mean? Like it's fucking important. Get yourself moving. It produces those natural hormones that make you feel good. You know what I mean? And so I'm a big believer in
100%.
taking care of yourself physically for sure. So those are all like quick
100%.
and easy
And
ways.
with the challenging yourself, the reason that it's, I find it, I believe it to be like so vital and important is because a lot of people, let's just say you're 40 years old and you really haven't worked out, you've let yourself go. And now getting back to the gym and just becoming a healthy person can be daunting, can be a struggle, can be tough. And the truth is, it's like, I get it. It's because more often than not, people are exercising, they're working out to lose weight. They're not training for their life. And when you're working out and exercising to like maintain health, that's what you're doing. You're doing maintenance. And maintenance work for 20, 30, 50 years, it's fucking sucks. Like doing maintenance on anything for that long just feels boring, feels monotonous. But if you challenge yourself, if like
Right,
once a
sign up for a
year,
run. Right.
like you do something that you didn't think you could do, then the workouts aren't workouts anymore. You're training. And they can be as, basic as you want them to be, because on that one singular day, when you go out and you break past a limitation or you completely shatter what you thought you were capable of, holy shit. Talk about an entire new lease and lens on life. Like you now know that like
Yeah, what you're
everything you
capable
thought you
of.
could do before is doesn't exist, because now you are like way up here now.
Yes.
It's huge.
All right, Danny, one of the things I'm really excited to talk to you about is your amazing marriage with Christina. From the outside looking in, it seems perfect, but you have shared your struggles and I applaud you for that. Your vulnerability is incredible. And I absolutely love your love, so I want to talk about it. And definitely, and the obstacles. I think a lot of people, life takes over and then you lose connection with your partner. And a lot of people, they throw in the towel, right? And you said, Adrian, we've had breakup conversations. So I just want to dive into this. Tell me about how you overcame it. Tell me about the struggles that, and how did you fix your marriage, really? And now are so happy, genuinely fucking happy.
We really are. I mean, oh my God, like, I mean, we talk about it so much too. It's just like how incredibly in love we are, and how it's like I didn't even know, you know, that this level of love existed. And I mean, and I'm saying that now, having just celebrated our 7th year of marriage, right? Like, I didn't get it. I didn't know. I thought I was in love. I mean, I was in love, right? It's not that I thought. I wasn't. I was in love. I just didn't understand. So I'm more than happy to share about this, because there are too many marriages that end too quickly. And it's often just a wounded masculine and a wounded feminine, and they don't know how to heal it, and they just say we're better off apart. And I get it. I get it. A lot of times it's a lot of people trying. So yes, let's jump into it. So I would say, you know, there's a few things that I recommend that everyone learn if they want to have a really loving, caring marriage. And one of them is the main one is communication and how to communicate. And when I say communication and how to communicate, I don't mean keeping it fucking real and just telling your partner whatever's on your mind. I mean actually learning how to speak and change the verbiage that you use, so that conversations and so-called like arguments or conflict are not each person talking over the other person, but you use language that creates safety, that creates open doors, that doesn't point the finger, that doesn't say you made me feel this and you made me feel that. Like, there is not enough ownership taken in relationships to heal relationships. Like, you have to learn how to take the ownership of what you're creating if you want to fix it.
Accountability, for
And
sure.
yeah, and it takes two. So, you know, like, it takes two, and I'm just going to say this out loud, guys, you got to go first. You have to go first. And a lot of times I'm, you know, I've had these conversations with a lot of men, like, you know, it's like, I'm fucking trying. I'm trying. It's like, I get it. You're not doing enough. I know that sucks. And I know it can feel as a man that, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to do that, and I'm fucking overwhelmed. Like, how much more do I have to give? And the question that I often come back to with men is like, do you want to be the leader of your family? And when that answer is yes, then that means you have to go first. Period. You have to go first. You have to understand that you need to figure out what you're creating in the marriage that's causing conflict. Own it, talk about it, and create safety so that your wife can come around, right? So let me kind of break this down. So, like, you know, me and Christina, we met, we, you know, we fell in love, and we were like just such best friends. And then we, you know, we got married, and everything happened quickly and easily. And I was, you know, working in my business, and like, you know, when things started to get rough was when I was working really late hours, and I was really stressed and flustered. And what would happen is I would come home, and I'm going to tell you from my original point of view, so that then I can help to create like the real image of how it all tied in. So, like, I would come home, and I'm like stressed out, and I'm kind of tired, and it's late. And then, like, Christina would like ask me questions that were so stupid and meaningless, right? Like, things like,
To
you
you,
know,
right?
to me, right? Like, we're like, I was like, what? Like, that's what you like, I don't like, you know, things like, what? Like, you're like, you know, like, did you wear your jacket today or something? I'm like, what? Like, you know, just like these really stupid questions that kind of like, I was like so exhausted from my day that I was so annoyed that I even had to answer them. Right?
And she
And that
probably
started to
was on
fluster
guard
me.
knowing you were stressed. Like, let me
Well,
ask him something
totally.
about, yeah.
Oh no. Like, I'm just telling you from this old school view of what it was, because I know exactly what was happening, and I'm gonna get to that. But that's what I was thinking. Like, as a man in the state of growth that I was in, and in probably the immaturity level that I was in, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, can't we like talk about something else? Or, excuse me. Can't we talk about something else? Or, you know, can't we just hang out? Or have, like, it was just like weird, like these weird questions. And like, she was so like, I felt like she was so insecure that it bothered me. So, and like, and I was flustered by it. And then it was like, in that space, she would often be very negative. So like, if I had fun ideas about things, it was like a negative response. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, let's go do this. And it's like, oh, you know, it's going to be too cold. Or I don't know, what about this? Or what happens if this happens? And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, mm-hmm. like, where did you go? Like, where did the woman that I married go? Like, now it's like, you're just like, you don't want to do anything fun. You're like, you're asking me all these dumb questions. So like, that's what I thought. Like, that's what I was seeing. And that's where I was caught in my head. Mm-hmm. And I was replaying that, which is a lot of stuff that guys go through. Like, there's this breakdown and they watch their wives, like, kind of like not, they watch their wives almost like become this like really fragile, insecure woman. And it bothers men. They want them to be more, you know, they want them to take more charge. They want them to be able to like stand up for themselves. They want these things. Mm-hmm. But here's what I didn't realize. I was the one that fucking did it. I built that whole thing. I made that whole thing happen. And what it was it finally came to light in one of our conversations where she kind of broke down. It was like, you come home and you're so, you have a bad, you're flustered. And what was happening with my wife was that I came home and I was, she could tell that I was flustered and that I was stressed. And that made her feel unsafe. Mm-hmm. Like she didn't know because I was triggered. So for her, she just wanted to connect with me. Mm-hmm. That's all she wanted. She wanted to connect.
But yeah.
But because she was kind of frightened and on edge, the things that came to mind were just these stupid little questions. But it wasn't stupid. It was really like, I love you. I want to connect. I love you. Mm-hmm. I want to connect. But they were hidden in these other little things. And I didn't see it. I didn't see that I was creating it. And I didn't even understand that, oh, my wife just wants to connect with me. Mm-hmm. I was just like judging it. I was like judging the whole thing. So she came out and like, we really had this deep conversation where she told me like, you know, she's been feeling like she's walking on eggshells. Mm-hmm. She's not good enough no matter what she does. And it's like, and I was like, I mean, honestly, like I felt sick to my stomach for days. Like I wanted to throw up when she told me, because I was like, holy shit. Like I've literally dismantled my wife's confidence.
Yeah.
Over the last like 2 to 3 years, like mm-hmm. I have destroyed her by not seeing her, not honoring her, and just carrying my like frustration and my angst around and wearing it on my sleeve. Mm-hmm. And then like being flustered that she couldn't be more, right? When really like the messages that I was sending was, you're just not enough. Like, you're not enough is the message I was sending. And then I'm mad that she's not more. Like you know what I mean? Like, holy shit, right?
It's
like
a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
And there's a trickle-down effect. Yes.
Totally. Yeah. And it happens all the time. And, mm-hmm. and you know, a lot of us guys, we don't get it because we're not taught this stuff. Like, we don't know these things because we're not taught these things. We're not taught that safety is what the woman wants over everything. And safety is not only, I will protect you physically. Safety is them have like women having the space to express themselves emotionally and to share their thoughts without us dismissing them, trying to fix them, or, you know,
undermining. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Undermining. Right. So.
So Danny, what did you guys do? Did you guys start having touch bases? Like, how did you, what framework did you use to get yourself out of that? Really?
Well, you know, I had gone through NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. I had gotten a practitioner certification in that, which is essentially learning how to communicate, like mm-hmm. learning what language you need to use. And if you want to be an effective communicator and a leader. And that's why I say like basic communication knowledge, like I would recommend anybody do some type of NLP course or something to understand like how you can communicate and maintain strong lines of rapport without cutting things off. So like a perfect example, eliminate the word but and replace it with and, eliminate the word understand and replace it with appreciate. Mm. So example is like this. I come home 7 days a week and every day the kitchen's a mess. and my wife is home all day, and I'm working. Okay, I'm just making a hypothetical situation, not real. And I come home on day seven, and I say, "Hey, babe, I love you to death, but if this house isn't clean when I come home tomorrow, I'm gonna freak out." Or, "Sweetheart, I love you to death, and it's really trying for me when I come home and I just see the house in disarray. It makes me feel like you don't care. Is there anything that we can do to change?" So I said, "And." When I said, "But," it's like, "I love you, but if you don't clean this up, I don't love you," basically.
Right.
Anytime we use the word "but," we negate everything before it. But if I use the word "and," I'm adding on, "Baby, I love you. And if there's something that we can do to keep this house clean, I would love to do that."
I love that tip. I'm going to remember that.
And then "understand" is the other one that you have to eliminate. Because anytime you tell someone, "I understand," you actually break the lines of rapport because no one actually fully understands. And our subconscious knows that. But consciously, we don't think about it. We say it all the time. But the truth is that you don't actually fucking understand. And I will never understand what goes on in my wife's head because it's her head. And she can try until she's blue in the face to explain it to me, but I'll never really understand. But what I can is I can appreciate it. I can respect it.
I appreciate how you're feeling, or I appreciate what you're saying, not I understand what you're saying.
And like that, how that shows up in conflict and relationships. I understand, but that's why I see. You know, I understand, but if I don't get this fixed, it's going to fucking crush us. You know, versus like, I can appreciate what you're saying, and this is how I'm feeling right now.
Totally different.
Totally different.
Totally different statements.
So like, that's what I mean when I say like really learning how to communicate. Like there's little basic tips and tricks that we can learn that amplify the connection between us. So it wasn't necessarily a framework. We didn't like follow some guided steps. She told me what she told me that day, and I recognized like, holy shit, I have been dismantling my wife. I need to fucking change that. So from that moment, I did a major change in how I showed up energetically around her and made sure that, you know, and since then, I've just been constantly learning more ways to help my wife be safe. And, you know, the struggles that we've had, so this was in the beginning, this is like 2016 or something that we started, or 17. That we started having these. No, this was actually, like 2017, 18 when she came clean about this. 2018 when she came clean about this stuff. So from 2015 to 2018, I was just dismantling her. And then in 2018, she came clear about it. And it was at that point that I'd already left the restaurants. I was deep into personal development. And I was learning, you know, how to be a a better human, basically. And so, like, I was very receptive to a lot of what she said. And I knew how to make some of these changes immediately in the way I was communicating and showing up for her.
Yeah, it's a lot of internal work. And I think people are afraid to look within. They're afraid to go look in that mirror. And I have I have a quick question for you. So what advice, I know a lot of my cravers are going through this, men and women, you know, what advice would you give to someone who thinks my marriage is failing? What's the first step? What would you do? Big question.
Yeah, great question. I mean, if I was being cold, I would be like, just look in the mirror because it's partial. It's what you're doing. That's the problem. But I think if I was being like super compassionate, I would say to everyone that's listening, like, it's a two-way street. And if the way you tell the story is what the other person is doing to you, then you're missing how they receive you. That's causing them to respond. We are not we're not responsible for other people's actions, but we're responsible for our responses. Right? We're responsible for our own stuff. We can't control how someone else acts. Now, you know, like when it comes to healing a marriage and what steps do I take, it has to be, like I statements and how you feel are very important. So like when I talk to people about how do we start breaking into the communication, how do I start the conversation? How do I start the healing conversation? that conversation has to look and be framed around how you feel, not what they're doing and what they did.
Because then they're on the defense. You give them no chance.
Exactly. So I'll give you an example, and you know, I'll be candid about our relationship. So, like, you know, 2018 was when the big, you know, elephant in the room was brought out. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, this year, to 2022 being the year where we fucking cracked the code and we are like so like in love and like everything is on the table. There's no resentments, there's no anything. So that's 4 years.
Right.
Of
takes
time
work.
Working on it. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a lot of community, there's a lot of conversations along that path. And that's where even some of the conversations of are we supposed to be together came out. Mm-hmm. So the way that it has to go down is you have to be able to effectively communicate the emotion that you're feeling at its deepest root level. And this is what I mean by that. So it's not like you make me angry. You upset. I get really frustrated when I get really upset when, because that is actually the byproduct of what actually happened before that caused you to get upset. Mm-hmm. Meaning I feel rejected. I feel abandoned. Mm-hmm. I feel isolated. I feel unseen. These are the feelings that we actually have that cause us to defensively get angry,
yeah,
to defensively get upset, to defensively act out and lash out. You're not mad. You're hurt. Mm-hmm. You're hurt. And until you can identify that and lead with that, it will be more difficult to heal.
Yeah.
So.
And you got to put it all on the table, right? Like vulnerability to the max.
100%. I mean, like the conversations that me and Christina had in 2022 were like the final pieces of it. Cause like I've been in this personal development so much that, you know, I've also made the mistake of trying to teach or onboard Christina into the new things I'm learning. Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of times as men, we're often shooting our woman, right? Like you should try this, you should do this, we're fixing things. So for any guys out there that want to increase their intimacy and their connection with their woman, repeat these two lines when things come out. When your wife says, you know, like, oh, I'm so stressed out, or like, I'm so upset, or this or that, or she's going through something. Line number one, tell me more. Mm. Let her unload everything that she's actually really feeling.
Yeah,
and when
heard.
She's done... Yeah, be heard. And when she's done, how can I support you? That's it. Those two lines. Tell me more. And when she's done, how can I support you?
Even you saying that to me makes me feel like I can share. Your voodoo's working on me. We're not even arguing.
Yeah,
I love those statements, Danny. That is huge.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I would say that for anybody listening, if you really would love to like get a crash course in how to be a better man or a better partner, read the book, The Way of the Superior Man by David Data. It's like a 130-page book. I think the audiobook is like 4 hours. I listened to it 2 days in a row. I mean, like, it was so phenomenal. Yeah. Like, I'm like listening to it. I'm like, why don't they teach this to us when we're 13 years old?
Yeah.
Like, why isn't this information out there? As when you think of energies, masculine and feminine energy, and my friend Christine Jewell, who is a phenomenal coach, if anybody wants to look her up, she's so cool. She told me this analogy, and I use it now with all of my clients. The way to look, she's like, what is the purpose of a relationship? Which is a really powerful question. Right?
Yeah.
Because the purpose is not to be loved, because you actually have to learn how to love yourself if you really want to have a good relationship, right?
I agree more.
The purpose of a relationship is to hold, honor, and support each other so that each person individually can expand in their own space and can maximize their own life together with one another. we work simultaneously together.
Yes.
And that is how masculine and feminine energies work. So if you want to have a cool metaphor, and this is what she told me, think of it this way. The masculine energy is the riverbed, and the feminine energy is the water that flows through it. If you can hold the riverbed, if you can hold the form of that riverbed, the water will continue to flow and it will expand that riverbed. It will help you go deeper and wider. You will grow and that riverbed will support your growth. However, if you flatten out that riverbed by not creating safe space, by acting out, by trying to fix all the problems that your wife or partner might be going through, that water spills everywhere and it can't help you. And you can't help it.
Yeah. That is an incredible visual. Yeah.
Really cool, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we stay? How do we become and like hold the form of the riverbed? Number one thing is that your wife, the woman in your life or the feminine in your life, if it's, you know, if it's woman and woman or man and man, there's a masculine and a feminine energy, right? Mm-hmm. The feminine energy needs to feel safe. It's the number one thing. It needs to feel safe, and it will only feel safe if it knows that it can express itself without ridicule or judgment.
Yes.
If it can stand behind the masculine in times of fear and safety, like, you know, that's more of like the physical form, right? And it can count on that person to keep their word. So simple things that degrade relationships that no one really talks about is like as simple as I will clean out the closet this weekend, and then 3 months goes by and the closet's not cleaned out. And the person is super busy and they're doing everything they can to be a loving husband and father or whatever they are, right? They're doing everything that they can. And it's like, why does the attention keep getting drawn back to this closet? Like, you said you were going to clean the closet. Like, I know, like, I'm fucking busy. Like, why is it so important? What is the big deal? It's not that the closet needed to be cleaned out. It's that you told the feminine energy that you were going to do something. And then when you didn't, they lost trust. And when they lose trust, they lose safety. You can't have safety without trust. You can't have trust without keeping your word. And so many men are breaking their word all the time because they feel like they need to keep commitments for things, even if they know bandwidth wise, they can't support it.
This is opening up my eyes in a way that you would not believe. Just knowing and learning all about this safety, I've never really known. That's something I definitely crave and need and require in a relationship, but I've never even thought about that before. It's vital. Yeah,
it's vital. And it's literally like living inside of every action and thing that we do. We just don't even get it.
Yeah.
We don't even see it because no one tells us about it. You know, so like you're constantly thinking that you're doing your best and you're wanting your partner to honor that you're doing your best.
Yeah.
But the feminine energy doesn't look at history. The feminine energy focuses on the current. So while a man might say, oh, like, I built this house, I bought you a brand new car, I did blah, 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 I did all these things, but like that's not enough because now you need this. That's not how it works. Like, we are two different, totally different entities. Like a woman needs to be heard, or feminine energy needs to be heard and seen, and a masculine energy needs to fix, but they're contradictory. And unless you know that and you feed into what the other energy needs, you'll just dismantle the relationship internally, and you'll remove all the sexual like desire and crave.
Yeah. It goes hand in hand.
It's just like, yeah. Like, so like, you know, there's a lot of like, okay, perfect example. You know, like when, like with my wife, like, you know, she's a little bit like, Christina's a little bit more timid, I think, and intimidated by certain things, like maybe, you know, taking Roman out to like, to the park or going somewhere out, some adventure with him, you know? And for me, being like this guy that's like super adventurous, like fucking risk taker, like jump out of a plane, build my wings on the way down. Like, for me, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Right? Like, what do you mean you're afraid? Like, it's no big deal. Why can't you just do that? Why can't you just figure it out? Or like,
you're a big girl, you're a woman, you can do it. Mm-hmm. Right. So like all those statements, one, first of all, like that, none of that, if you ever say that to your wife, it's helpful. And I'm not saying that I do, but like that was, right. That's like that ideology of like, well, why can't she just do it? Mm-hmm. Right. But in her feminine, right, she doesn't feel that safe doing it. And if I don't honor that, I remove that trust. I remove more sexual intimacy and draw towards me, mm-hmm. because she doesn't feel like she can be herself, and she doesn't feel like she can be, she can even express that she is afraid.
That safety right? is huge. And yeah. And men who complain, you know, I want my wife to do more in the bedroom. I want to do this. I want right. to. And it's like, it, all your actions outside of the bedroom are really what gets yeah. it done.
And exactly. And then what happens is that we start masculine, start pushing more responsibility mm-hmm. onto the woman, and that draws the masculine out of the woman, out of the feminine partner. It draws the masculine up, which then in turn draws the feminine up in the masculine. So you have more men that are like, you know, why like victimizing
yeah,
themselves.
Yeah, and they're
like,
rejected. Why can't you do this? Yes.
Why can't you do that? Why can't you do that? Mm-hmm. You know, like what's like, God, like, why can't she just figure it out on her own?
Yeah.
Where really they like the feminine energy wants to be held. It wants to be secured. Like, and it's constantly challenging the masculine energy. Like the most famous like line is like, you know, what do you want to do tonight? I don't know. Like, why don't we go get something to eat? You know? And it's like, cool. Like, why don't we go to this Italian place? Okay, great. Let's go there. And then you get there and you eat. And then like afterwards, it's like, maybe she's not so happy. It's like, what's wrong? It's like, I don't know. I didn't really want to have Italian. Well, why didn't you say that in the beginning? That's the line. Why didn't you say that in the beginning? Right? Like, why didn't you just tell me that? Mm-hmm. Like, if you didn't want to do it, why didn't you just say it? Right. Mm-hmm. And that can be for anything, right?
Yeah.
Because the feminine is constantly challenging the masculine to test their own safety. Mm. And it's just innate. It's not conscious. It's not like, oh, I'm going to see if he knows me. I'm going to see if he knows that 6 months yeah. ago I said, I don't want to eat Italian anymore. That's not what they're thinking. It's just how the operations work in the energy of the feminine mm-hmm. and the masculine. And if you want to be a step ahead, don't even ask her what she wants to do.
Oh my God. Yes.
That sounded bad. That sounded bad. That's not what I mean. Like, don't. I got you. Like,
I got you.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Like Christina is so feminine. She is so deep in her feminine, right? And it disrupts her feminine if I ask her to start making the plans.
Yeah, I like a man that takes charge too. Yes.
Yeah, if I brought that plan to her.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
She would be so excited to do it. And she'd right. be all in. If I'm like, hey, you know what? Get your boots on. You need to get a jacket. You need to dress casual. I'm going to take you out. And I'm not telling you where we're going. It's like, let's go. Like,
yes, so true.
She's ready. She wants to have sex right then, right? Like, it's like, yeah. like, you know, like, it's like, that's how it works. And what happens in our relationships often and why we disintegrate is because men stop wanting to make all the choices. They want their wife to have, you know, or they feel like if they're making all the choices, they're demeaning their wife, or they're not giving their wife enough of a voice. Mm-hmm. You know, so like a lot of times it's like we're doing things in the assumption that it's helping. But if we understand what feminine and masculine energies are,
yeah,
we'll actually find out that like, oh shit, all these things I'm doing are actually not helping. I thought I was like being attentive to maybe what she might want or need, mm-hmm. but in turn, I'm actually asking her to act in a way that is not in alignment with her deepest desire, which is to be the feminine, the divine, and be held by the masculine. That's what they want.
I know for sure right now, many of my listeners are hearing this and they're thinking, oh my gosh, like, yes, yeah, because that's how I feel. And then I hope that like people can make small changes. It is those small changes that will make an incredible difference in the happiness of your life and your marriage and your relationship. So yeah. Let me ask you a question. And so do you believe in things like date nights? Like, how do you and Christina reconnect? How do you guys keep, do you have a dedicated date night? Do you keep things like, do you like to surprise and, I don't know. What do you do? Because I see your love and I feel your love.
How do we get that love?
Totally.
Yeah, how do we maintain that love?
So expression, it's huge. Like we tell each other that we like, my cousin was visiting and she's like, I remember her telling us, she's like, I have heard you guys say, I love you to each other, like more in the last couple of days. She's like, than I've heard, like my, I feel like my parents say their entire life.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
She's like, the amount of times that you guys say, I love you to each other and to our son, she's like, it's astronomical. Mm. Like we're constantly expressing our affection and our love for one another.
And appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And appreciation. Right. So like that I would say is step number one. You know, what's really helped, I mean, like I said, like all these deep conversations that we've had that have helped to heal us, to bring us to where we are now, mm-hmm. it was work and it was commitment. And, you know, a lot of times I think that we have these deep conversations, like where we need to really like, you know, we need to like lay everything out and like, you know, fix the marriage, right? But like, it doesn't get fixed in a single conversation. I mean, a lot of times we're asking people to change behaviors that have been innate for themselves for decades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So patience in letting the other person evolve naturally by trusting is huge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes being comfortable enough to have the conversation 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, if that's what it takes. Mm-hmm. If your goal is a togetherness, it also takes 2. So, you know, there was, I would say a lot of times in the beginning where I felt like I was sharing stuff with Christina that I have to share over and over again. Mm-hmm. But then there was also things that I still needed to better myself at. So anytime we have the conversation, I'm always open to understanding and receiving mm-hmm. if there's more things that I've missed.
Yeah.
Right. Like I missed in 2015, I missed it that I was I was destroying her with my attitude. I missed it for 3 years. So I get it. I'm fucking open now. Like if I'm doing something, I want to know about it. But at the same time, like we don't yell at each other. Mm-hmm. We don't call each other names. So like, no, like you're a fucking bitch or like you're an asshole or like stop being a dickhead. Like mm-hmm. none of that shit. Do not fucking call each other names. It's not appropriate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, for us, I think what keeps it spicy, what keeps it alive is like, we are constantly expressing our appreciation. Cause like, here's the thing, like me and Christina in our time together, we have been flush financially and we've been tight as fuck financially. Mm-hmm. So I want to speak to both of those because, you know, this whole concept of like date night, going out on adventures, doing things like that might be really easy for some people. It might also be really fucking hard for some people. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to think if you're listening to this, that if you're going through a tough time financially, that your intimacy or your level of adventure and connection has to suffer from it. So we've done things where we've done picnics at parks, mm-hmm. you know, spending time just being together,
going on a hike, putt
golf or something. Yeah. Go on a hike. You know, the coolest thing is really when we sit and we just talk, you know, and we tell each other about things that are going on or things that we're like experiencing, things that we're thinking about.
More than surface level, you know? Right?
More than surface level. Like, you know, like I'm a big crybaby. I think that also comes from, you know, 17, 20 years of being completely hardened. Mm. That when I finally opened my heart, it's just been a floodgate. I mean, that's the truth.
Oh,
that's
God.
Who I am. Like,
is that my future? Because that's the way I never cry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, I cry all the time. I mean, like a good Geico commercial, whew, you just nail me between the eyes, you know? Like, like it's hilarious, you know, but it's also who I am. Like I am a really emotional man. Mm-hmm. I'm strong as fuck. I'm masculine as hell, but like I have a very deep connection to my feminine side.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that. Like I don't give a fuck. You know, to be honest, I think that's what makes me whole. It's what makes me so special is that I have that deep connection.
Right.
You know, I can hug a guy and I tell my guy friends, like, I love you so much, man. Mm-hmm. I'm so like so glad for our friendship. Like I love you so much, you know, because I think that stuff's important, you know, and like that whole like 5 things that you do and telling someone, you know, honoring people mm-hmm. and sending nice messages, like doing that in the home is huge. Mm-hmm. So yes, time together is very important. Another thing that we don't talk about enough, time apart, very important.
True.
And I don't mean apart. I don't mean apart like getting shit faced with your homies for like a bachelor weekend. I mean actually solo time.
Yeah.
Now this also speaks more to the man and the masculine than it does to the feminine, but it's not to discredit women that like alone time. Like Christina, she's not a big fan of like she doesn't have like a desire to like, I want to go to Joshua Tree for 3 days and just camp and write and journal and like, you know, have a moment. For me, that's like it's like a mind direction. Like, yes, please. Mm-hmm. Like, give me some fucking alone time. I thrive in that.
Yeah.
Men especially thrive in alone time because it disconnects all cords of responsibility for us and it allows us to sink back into our flow state where we feel whole, we feel energized.
Yeah.
There's a major breakdown in that because there's not a healthy level of communication around it. Because men don't understand that in order to create more alone time, you need to create the safety prior. Mm-hmm. Meaning like my wife needs to know that I don't need time away from her.
Yeah.
I don't need time away from my wife. I don't need time away from my son. I don't need time away from the chaos. I need time alone.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's different.
It's very helpful and healthy. Yeah. It's different. It's healthy. And that's, again, going back to the communication, learning how to communicate what you need based on your own emotions and not because of somebody else. Right. So yeah. Those are huge, you know?
Yeah. The solo time. I really agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Massive. Don't be afraid to be intimate, touching, kissing.
Yeah,
loving.
Physical touch is definitely a love language. And I think learning your love language of your partner is huge too, because people receive and express love in different ways. You got to learn that for sure.
Yeah.
You can take a simple test online, by the way.
Yeah.
So easy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I mean, I think the real thing is like, if you really want to have like this breakout marriage, like you just want to have all the passion, you want to have all the sex, you want to have all the connection, you want to look like basically me and Christina do online, you know, you have to be willing to have deeper conversations. Mm-hmm. You have to like
Danny,
all of
creating
us,
that safety. That's huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all of us, we're all fucked up a little bit, right?
Oh,
like every one of us has childhood trauma. We have patterns. We have habits. We have things that are ingrained in us. The thing that we don't live in our relationship is, and I don't live in life, I don't live behind labels. Mm-hmm. I am not a 7D minus 3 on the Enneagram or whatever the fuck it is. Like, I am not this thing on my life design. I think that those things are cool and they're helpful to help set frames to understanding. Mm-hmm. But everything in life and in our human body is malleable. And
right.
We do
always
not live
evolving.
In labels.
Yeah.
Always evolving. So we don't live in labels in our relationship either. And if you can explore and create space to be explored and to grow, just like you said at the very beginning, right? Like, if you want to better your marriage, you got to better yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the real truth. If I'm going to have like, where do we start?
Yeah.
You start with yourself.
Look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Like look in the mirror. You want your wife to do X, Y, and Z. Well, where have you not done that in your own life? Mm-hmm. You want to be loved more? Well, do you love more? Do you love more?
Yes.
Do you actually invite that? Like, mm-hmm. You want to be, you know, you want to have more adventures. Like, are you having
adventures?
More adventures?
Right. So true.
Right. So like, it all starts internally. So like, me healing myself and working on myself has helped us make a better marriage. Christina working on herself, healing herself, has helped us have a better marriage.
Yep.
Us talking about it without trying to coach each other, but just allowing each other to be heard and seen. Mm-hmm. And then be supported in the way that we most need it. You know, like, these are huge things. Like, so perfect example of this is like, I was traveling a lot. I traveled a lot in like 2020 and 2021 and a little less in 2022, but like for a few years there, 19, 20, 21, even 2018, I was traveling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had our son and I would go to travel, and it was all mainly for work. It wasn't like I was going out and like, you know, oh, I'm going to go, you know,
right.
ski for the weekend. Like, a lot of it was work stuff, but personal development work stuff is also like kind of a work play environment.
Yeah.
So it was fun for me, but it was also growth. Well, when I would go on these trips and we had our son, I was always like, she would always kind of guilt trip me a little bit. right? And like, you know, it's so hard and it's this and it's that. And whenever I would call, she'd like, oh, it's like I can hear, you know, screaming, and she's flustered and she's angry. And I just like, God, it was always like, I felt like, it's like, man, like, I need this stuff for my business. Like, it's so helpful for me. It helps me be better. But damn, if you like kind of don't make me feel like it's like destroying,
right, you're punishing
like,
me for it. Like, right. It's a real
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Like I'm being punished. Right. I'm being punished.
Been there.
For it. So we had these conversations, you know, and again, she needed to know that it had nothing to do with me trying to get away from her. She needed to get more safety. And by me helping her get the more safety, she was receptive to me then telling her what I need, because I want you to support me.
Yeah.
I want you to say, oh, you've got a trip to California for an event. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah.
I know that, like, I want you to know that I'm doing this to be a better man, to be a better father, to be a better provider. Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to honor that and then treat me as such.
Right.
Right. Like, it's okay for us to ask for the things that we want. It's also important to understand that there's a better way of asking for it. That's when I say, again, learn some communication skills, you know, pick up an NLP book, because when you can start to express your wants without taking, right? As men, we can break down a woman really fast when we are creating taking energy from them. Mm-hmm. Example, if I always grab my wife on the ass, I'm kind of giving a taking energy, because that means she can easily feel like she has to give me something. Mm-hmm. Oh shit, he's grabbing my ass. He wants me to have sex. I have to give him. If I put my hand on her lower back, I'm giving her, I'm creating safety. She feels safer. So there's little subtleties that, like, if we're always going to our wife for taking, it breaks down her safety.
They're absolute game changers. Yes.
Yeah, if we're providing that right energy, they open up. So that was just like that was just like an example of, like, you know, this was something that we had to clear up. And like when we were both clear on how we needed to support each other, then we both got the support that we needed.
Yeah.
Right?
You're like, changing things for me. Yeah. I'm not even in a relationship right now, but I've always said, like, men, they take from me. What do you want from me? You know what I mean? And like, that's a very negative way to look at things. And I maybe should express that in my next relationship. Like, hey, these are ways that you can make me feel like I'm not giving all the time. I never even thought about that before. It's huge.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. There's so much that like, that just isn't taught.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. It's part of the reason why all these marriages break apart, you know, because like men, it's like, I don't have freedom. Mm-hmm. And women are like, I just can't save them.
Yeah.
Like when the woman realizes that she just can't save them, which is a wounded feminine, she's out. And when the man feels like, I don't have freedom, he's out. And that's a wounded masculine. It's because you haven't figured out how to give so much love and support and safety to your wife that she will fucking be like, I'm your rock now.
Yeah.
Go do whatever the fuck you got to do. Like, Christina's
That's
my rock.
That's the secret. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she is the rock, the pinnacle, the source of everything in our family.
God,
like, without her,
like,
none of it fucking works.
I'm so glad we had this conversation today, because not only I'm always thinking of my cravers, but you are really helping me. I'm someone that I have big walls up. I am very guarded. My heart is not open pretty much at all right now. And that's okay. Like, I'm still in my healing phase, but you're enlightening me for the future for sure. So thank you for that personally.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Let me also, like, I just want to say, like, because I feel like I've shared a lot of things that, like, I hope I haven't painted a picture of my wife. Like, she's like not,
no.
I mean, I hope I've painted the right picture of her. Like, I've shared so many intimate things of, like, where we've found pain in each other. And like, she is the most beautiful, most wonderful, most loving, like the way that she is, just as her normal being, has opened up a new level of capacity of love for me. Like, the way that she loves animals, the way that she sees things, the way that she finds joy in places has helped me feel lighter and feel more loving, you know? And
love that for you guys.
Thank you. While we've had our ups and our downs, like, we joke about it now, like she's always been a step ahead. She always fucking knew the right way. It was me that was slow to arrive. It was me that really needed to make so many changes so that she could step into her like highest level of loving, powerful woman.
Yeah.
I needed to make the change so that she felt safe giving me all her love. Like that was it. I had to make these changes. That's why the men have to go first. Men often want a lot of change from their woman. They want their woman maybe to be more sexy, to be more intimate, to show them more love, to rub their back, to do all these things. But she doesn't do anything for me. Mm-hmm. But it's because you haven't allowed her to feel safe enough to give you that love. Mm. It's all on us. Really. And that's why I say, like, if you want to be the leader, you got to go first. And you got to go first, even when you really feel like rationally or logically, you shouldn't have to. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to fucking suck it up and you got to go again. You got to go first again and go first again. And until you learn how to communicate properly and make her feel safe in that communication, you're going to have to go first a whole lot.
Yeah.
And if you don't figure it out, you're going to feel like you don't have any freedom. You're going to feel like you lost a part of yourself. You're going to blame her for it and you're going to break up.
Yeah. So true. Well, I think you've painted a very real and beautiful picture of your life and shared so vulnerably. So thank you for that. I really can't thank you enough because I've learned so much as well. So definitely seeing things differently, which is awesome. And you know how I feel about her. Like I said, when I first met her, she made me feel safe when I was spiraling. Okay. And, you know, I just have always adored and loved her. So,
I mean, she's incredible. Like I tell her all the time, like, I just can't believe that like I get to spend the next 50 years with you. Like, I'm so happy. Like, I'm so happy that, like, I mean, she's my best friend. She's my lover. She's my, like, my rock, my sidekick, like my number one fan. And I mean, I'm all the same for her, right? Like, I am her number one fan. I will bend over backwards. I will support her in anything that she does. Like, I fucking love her to death. Like, yeah. She's so amazing. And like, you know, I think sometimes when we get caught into relationships, we often want the person to be like us. Mm-hmm. Like we get into relationships because we find so much commonality and enjoyment, but go into the long hauls, then we start to piece apart the things that don't align with our own actions. You know, like, well, I'm a go out and get her. I'm extrovert. You're introvert. Mm-hmm. I need you to be more extrovert. Mm-hmm. Or I need you to be more introvert. You know, like I need you to be more this for me. And what happens is that we break down the purpose of the relationship, which the purpose, again, going back to that riverbed and water, is to support the individual in their own life experience. Mm-hmm. Like, we chose our partners to be part of our own personal life experience, not to have them conform to our life experience. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important too. Like, you talk about your story and your growth to the happiness that you two share today. It's not picture perfect. It takes work every day, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it takes work. And now I feel like we're bulletproof, and I'm sure that the universe will throw us a curveball at some point. but really we've just continued to lay it all out. And I will say that in 2022 was the year that we let the final cats out of the bag.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing that I've kind of like not really shared, or here's the thing that, like, you know what, like, I've been just keeping this to my chest, but it actually really is affecting me. Like, mm-hmm. We have to lay it all out, all of it on the table, and like eliminate the resentments. Because like, if we don't lay it out, we harvest the resentments.
Yep.
But if we are totally fucking transparent, you know, like, because the truth is like when you lay it all out and you let go of the resentments and you let go of the meaning to things, then you're allowed to have your experience a lot more easily. Like, I can be pissed off at Christina, mm-hmm. and I can tell her, like, I'm really fucking mad at you, you know? But now that we're so clear on how much we love each other, mm-hmm. we've disconnected the fact that me being upset or angry with her has nothing to do with me loving her wanting to be with her for the rest of my mm-hmm. life. Right. Like, I can be pissed at you and angry and want to be with, and I'm still want to be with you for the rest of my life. I'm just having an emotional experience right now.
Right.
And it's just me really fucking angry. Like, come on, man. And her too, for me, like, yeah. her too, like, damn, like, you're being a real asshole right now or something, you know, like, I'm so mad at you right now. Like, I can't believe that you would say that. Like, that does not mean like, we are going to break up. Yeah. It just means that like whatever just happened caused a major emotional experience and she's expressing it. Mm-hmm. And we can start separating that stuff when we let everything out. But like when we're like, you know, bringing up shit from 6 months ago and we're talking about this and we're talking about that, we're tying it into yeah. the moment of now, mm. like forget about it.
Yep. So let me ask you a question. And I know we've been on for a long time, so we'll like wrap this up. But there's got to be a correlation between when you worked on your relationship and you built a stronger foundation and you enriched both of your lives with your, you know, your communication, yada, yada, yada. It improved your sex life, no doubt, right? Like those things totally. Go hand in hand. Like you noticed totally. That in the bedroom too. You had to have.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
So intimacy was always one of the main things that we would have conversations about. And it was me having the conversation of frustration, mm-hmm. right? Like it's not enough. Like mm-hmm. it's way too sparse. Like once a month or once every 2 weeks or something is not enough.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and again, it came down to safety. Mm-hmm. And what happened was eventually once we got to this point of like really honoring and being safe, the floodgates opened. You know, like
I believe it.
Yeah. Like, you know, like I'm not to sound like a dick, but like I'm hashtag blessed. Right. So
yeah.
with Christina being just a small person, there was a lot of friction in how hard I could push or how rough it could be. Mm-hmm. And those were things that I, you know, have enjoyed in the past that I felt like I lost in our relationship. Mm. But come to find out that it actually had nothing to do with her or her size or my size. It had everything to do with whether or not I let her feel safe enough to open up fully.
Yeah.
Now
safety's a huge thing for me. Yeah, in the bedroom. Yeah.
It opens up in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, and like there's times where we won't have sex for like a like I was sick for 8 weeks and like there was time during that. Like we weren't like having sex. And there's times where like one of us is going through something and you know what? It doesn't matter anymore now. See, that's the thing. Now it doesn't fucking matter because now we're so in love and we're so intimate and we're
the emotional we're just so, connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like when the emotional connection isn't there, we crave the sex.
Yeah.
Because it gives it to us. It, at least it like a band-aid. But like when we can break down all the walls, it's like, it's almost like you're constantly feeling like you're having sex, if that makes sense. Like you're so connected,
that, yeah.
you're so deep into each other that it's crazy. Cause like I was always like I still am, but like super high sex drive. Like, you know, like I want to have sex with everything that moves, like, you know, like a maniac, right?
Sounds like me.
so like, you know, like with, when I was in this relationship with Christina, just it wasn't the same. But then at the same time, it was in the beginning, but then it got worse as I deteriorated that relationship and that safety. And now through the rebuild of that, I mean, we are now intimately, you know, connecting in a way that like we never have before in the 7 years of marriage or 9 years being together, you know? So
I believe that. I love that.
It's not always, yeah, it's not always like what you do or like where you put your finger, where you put your tongue. It's yeah. it's also like, what do you say during the rest of the 90% of the time? How do you make your wife or your husband feel during the rest of the time? And then at the same time, you know, we got to honor the other person too. Mm-hmm. Honoring that person and what helps them feel aroused is important. Mm-hmm. You know, like foreplay starts outside of the bedroom before you even get in there.
Oh my God. I say, yes, foreplay starts at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
100%.
Right. You know, so, you know, like never shaming your partner for not wanting to have sex is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. You know, no sex shaming, like no shaming, just stop shaming each other.
Yeah. That leads down a bad road.
Yeah. Stop telling that person you wish that there was something. I wish you were just this. I wish you were just that. Or like, hey, like, you know, like, do you want to fool around? It's like, no, I'm not in the mood. Like, oh, don't do that. Don't, ugh. Don't drop your shoulders. Don't look sad. Doesn't mean you can't be sad, but don't like flaunt it. Don't make the person feel worse. They don't want to have sex at that moment. That's okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, it's a slippery slope, no doubt.
The more that we allow everything to be okay, the more that we get what we want, especially in the bedroom. You know, like when she doesn't feel sexy and I try to tell her a million times how hot she is and she shouldn't feel that way, it doesn't help. But when she doesn't feel sexy and I just let her know that, hey, I love you and no problem, and if I can support you, let me know. Then she, all of a sudden, she actually starts to feel a little sexy again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is, like, it's so simple that it works. It's so true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, Danny, before we go, I do want to ask you, because I love to ask my guests, what do you crave? Sure. And it could be anything in life or in the bedroom or whatever you, I don't know. I mean, and I feel like it evolves and it changes in life, but like, what do you crave? You've been through
what
so much.
reprieve. No, I'm no, what do I crave? That's a really interesting question, because I feel like I've gotten so much, you know, like I think in my business I crave more community right now. I've done a lot of one-on-one work, and now I'm wanting to really build community. I'd say in my marriage, I don't know, I'm really happy in my marriage. I don't know that I would say I'm necessarily craving much. I would say maybe just like more opportunities for us to do vacations away, just the two of us.
Yeah.
So like we don't, like our parents are on the other side of the country. You know, we moved to Arizona a couple of years ago. Like the network of like lifelong friends to like watch our child is not the same. So that would be something I'd say I crave in my relationship.
It's something I like to think about, because in this phase of life, I feel like there's so much misdirection, and I feel, you know, and it changes over time, but it's good to ask yourself that, you know, what do I crave right now?
Yeah.
What do I want to do?
Yeah, totally.
Now is the time.
Yeah.
Well, Danny, listen, I want to thank you so much. You have not only, I mean, I really was so excited to learn from you, and I knew it would give so much value to my listeners, but you really enriched my life too. And I'm going to think differently in future relationships and look internally as well. And it's funny when you say things like, men are, you know, guys are always trying to take from me. I'm really going to think about that and work on that myself. So thank you for enlightening me on that. It's really been an incredible conversation today with you. So thank you so much. And I'm so excited to have you on. But really quick before we go, I want you to mention everywhere my listeners, my cravers can reach you. So tell me where.
So Instagram is at Peak Life Now. You can check out any of my stuff there. My feed kind of tells a story of the last 12 years, last 10 years of my life. So it's interesting to go through. My website is imdanieldiaz.com. You can actually go on there and even book a strategy session with me or apply to work with me if you want to learn more about who I am and what I do. And Facebook, /Daniel Diaz Life Coach. And you can follow me there. I put a lot of content on Facebook, and soon it'll be YouTube too. But if you want to get the majority of free, good, powerful stuff, check out my Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. Well, Danny, thank you again so much for your time. And please send Christina my love. I'm going to reach out to her and send her a note. But I cannot thank you enough for your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on. It was a blast. I had a great time.
Yes, you too. Cravers, I hope next time you hear from me, the skies have parted, birds are singing, and a goddamn angel is playing a harp in the background somewhere, because I need it. I need a change. Good luck come my way. I've got a fuck ton coming up. Are you ready for this? First, Hot Dog has agreed to come on the show. I can't wait for you to meet him, and it's going to be a wild ride. He is so much fun. He has insane stories, and so really looking forward to that. Second, save the date,
Tuesday, February 7th, because it's my 50th episode all about blowjobs. I'm going to be sharing endless tips, amazing techniques, and ways to build your confidence down there, and even positions to upgrade your brain game in a way you've never thought of. They don't call it a job for nothing, okay? And you're going to get some major on-the-job training. So excited for it. Lastly, my tonsillectomy is scheduled for February 17th. So I am going to be down. I am going to be out. I'm going to be drinking water, popping Percocets, and just trying to get through the... I hear it's pretty bad. I hear it's like 10 days of absolute hell. But I've got to take some time. I need to take the time to heal and recover. So I'm going to. Episode 51 will drop on March 7th. And if you want to keep up with me in the meantime or send me get well messages, please do that. Like, please do that. Follow me over on Instagram at Midlife Craving, and I'll look forward to hearing from you. All right, Cravers, I'm going to go send my Dom a message and tell him what an incredible afternoon I had with him. 10 out of 10, our best session yet. Like, if that's even possible. Man, I'm telling you what, getting fucked, it just solves everything. I just need to get fucked every day and then nothing can get me down, okay? Like nothing, not a flood, not a truck broken down, not a tonsillectomy, nothing. Just fuck my brains out. All will be right in the world.